Just go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. And I want to talk about us, City Builders Church Sale, because we are called to be a prophetic people. I want to talk about prophetic people this morning and prophetic churches, because I believe we're called to be a prophetic church. I did put up a post there a few weeks ago on our front line, and I spoke about how God has strategic people. Strategic people. Say that, strategic people. He also has, before I go on to the next point, strategic people. That could be me and that could be you. Could be. He also has strategic places. Say that, strategic places. Bethlehem was a strategic place. It was chosen for a visitation. It's Bethlehem. So we have strategic people. We have strategic places. And we have strategic timing. There are times in history when God is about ready to do something and to do something special. And we need to be able to pick up those timings. Just don't want you to hear another message this morning, you know, because people hear messages every week and messages are good and this and that. But I just really believe that if we can hear in with our heart this morning, that there can be a little bit of a shift in us and something can begin to happen. There can be a shift and a realignment in our thinking. Now listen to this. God's rescue plan in the nation. Who knows that our nation needs a rescue plan? Yeah. Renee sent me a request for money about a week ago for rent. And I sent her $300 and I put on it bailout. That was my rescue mission for Renee. But God has always got a rescue plan for the nation. He always has. And it will involve churches. I want to say this, that I am not a personal ministry man. I am a local church man. And I believe that in the end, cities, regions, and even nations will be impacted by churches like this. But there is always an if about that. Because people end their lives and potential goes missing because they haven't done what they should have done during their life. And you know, I really believe right now it's very exciting. We're moving into the Cobb and Co Stables, and that's good, but that's not the church. That's just a place. It could be a strategic place, but it's nothing without strategic people. And you are the people. You know, you are the strategic people. I'm a strategic person. Do you know that? Yeah, well, there's a problem right there. You're not even convinced about that. Anyway, we'll talk about that some more. Strategic people. Aren't Aussies funny? God will move over there through that person. God's moving over there. Let's go to Bethel. Let's go over there. But God knows that this is a strategic place. You know, this could be a place like Bethlehem where God chooses to visit this place. I went and stood in a place in Bonnie Bray Street in Los Angeles, and I just stood there and I breathed in the atmosphere because it was a strategic place there where God birthed a move of God, where a group of people in a room began to pray, began to take God at His promise, and that became the birthing place of the greatest move. And it was the Azusa Street Revival, which also came out of a stable. Who knows where the next move of God might break out? It depends on what the strategic people do, whether they respond well. And then there's strategic timing. I want you to know this. I have absolute faith in God. Absolute faith in God that He will finish what He started. That is a conviction of my heart. It drives me like you wouldn't believe. You know, we get beset by all sorts of problems. We have all sorts of challenges. We have all sorts of health issues. God knows that we're having one in our own home right now. We have all these sorts of issues. But there's something on the inside of me that believes that God is calling us to the finish line. We as a people, and nothing is going to stop us. Nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm not over yet. I'm not out of here until God says, Brian, it's time to come up. Enter in, good and faithful servant. I tell you what, we've got a job to do. We have an assignment. And we want to pick that up this morning. So, absolute faith that God will finish what he did, but he's going to do it through his church. He's going to do it through a people that are prophetic, a people that are able to respond to him, a people that realize that they've got a call of God over their life. Listen to this. This is a great scripture. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it says, the sons of Isaac had understanding of the times and they knew what to do. If I could just talk personally a little bit about myself, I believe that God has, there's a prophetic touch across my life. And there's a sort of a flow that comes through into the church because of the touch or the calling that God has put over my life. Is that all right? I'm not on assignment here for three or four years. I'm on a lifetime assignment in Sale because God wants to build a certain sort of church. I believe that I'm a strategic person in that plan, and I believe that you are a strategic person in that plan. And, you know, it's funny. I remember years ago, probably right when I became a Christian, which is quite a while ago now, God starting to show me things about the future. And, you know, I became very aware, even back then, like 38, 39 years ago, I could see the decline that the nations were going into, even right back then. And you could just see it happening. And God began to call me aside and began to prepare me. And, you know, that's my ministry. That's the flavor of our church. That is who we are, and that is who you are called to be. Is that all right? So here it says the sons of Isaac had understanding of the times. Do you know what? Not many people these days have understanding of the times. They don't understanding the times. Like really history, there's a thing called we could call revisionist history, where different groups in society are actually putting a different spin on history because people no longer have understanding of the times. But if you were, if you have understanding of the times, which is something on the inside, you'll think, hang on, there's something not right here. Hang on, something is going wrong here. And this is like an internal GPS. You know, your spirit on the inside of you is your spirit man is like a GPS that needs to be activated. Your GPS in your car is not going to work until you activate it, until you turn it on, until you ask it for directions. And we are like that. So here it says the sons of Isaac. And I would like to say this, that the sons of, you know, the sons and daughters of this church, if you like, you know, that our sons and daughters would have understanding of the times. I tell you, you need understanding of the times. The bailout plan is not going to come through the government. It's not going to come through the education system. The bailout plan in the future is going to come out from God's on-time people, His church. His church. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big church. You know, big churches can have big problems. I know that because we just have a little church. And I know how many problems I can have in a given week, not looking at anyone. So this morning I'm praying that you can hear the message. It's like Joyce said, sometimes we can hear the message and we can go, good message. And we go home, but we didn't hear the word. And the word didn't take root on the inside. And, you know, there's a way that we can begin to make sure that that happens. I just want to teach a little bit about the prophetic and how to enter into the prophetic. And, you know, how to become more mature in the prophetic. Because I really believe this is such a powerful, vital force in the church. In fact, when we, identified some of the aspects of DNA that were personal to our church, a lot of people came up and spoke about the prophetic. And there's a reason for that. and we'll talk about it. But here's a couple of things that I want you to know this morning about three dimensions of the prophetic. Firstly, there is a thing called the office of the prophet. Okay, and the Bible talks about this. In Ephesians chapter 4, yes, I've got it marked, thank God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. It's talking about Jesus. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That's a message in itself. And he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to the church. It said he also descended, is also the one who ascended far above the heavens. That's where Jesus, the head of the church, is today, in the heavens. Where is Jesus, the head of the church? He's in the heavens. But we, and here on earth is his body. Who are we this morning? We are the body of Christ. The most potent force on the earth, potentially. Potentially. But at the same time, globally, the church seems to be silent and asleep. But before the final trumpet blows, there is going to be an awakening. There's going to be a trumpet blows that wakes the church from its sleep. And the church is going to stand up and become the mighty army that God called it to be. And this is spoken prophetically in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the prophet went to God and said, Lord, can these bones live? Only you know, Lord. And the Lord instructed him and said, Son of man, prophesy. Yes. So when the prophetic voice is released in the church, the sleeping church, the giant, the body of Christ will come to life on the earth and stand up as an exceedingly great army. So the prophetic is not just a, you know, what do you call it? An optional extra. You know, it's not an optional extra. It's something that is so vital and so dynamic and so potentially powerful for us to enter in to the fullness of what God has for us. So this is the office of the prophet. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some, let's say that, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. So these first two, the apostles and the prophets, are like the ones that come along and lay the foundation of the church. So you've got to read it. You've got to read it over and over and over and over again until you understand this, because this is the word of God for us this morning. So he gave some. Say some. Their gifts. Their gifts. They're given by God. They give it, say it's in the Bible, you can trust me, it really is there. But a lot of people go through this Bible over and over and again and they jump parts that they don't understand. So he gave some to be apostles and a prophet. So there is the office of the apostle and the prophet. In the Old Testament, and that's why I got you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 3, the perfect picture of the Old Testament prophet is Samuel, and we're going to talk about him in a minute. So firstly, the office of the prophet. Say that after me. The
office of the prophet.
Secondly, we have the gift of prophecy.
Yes.
The gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the apostle Paul said, pursue love. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 14, what should we pursue?
Love,
which is the love of Christ, to really love one another, to really lock our shields together, to really learn to covenant together, to really learn to offer our lives for one another. Because a lot of people can offer their lives for God who is in heaven, but they can't for their wife or their husband. So it says, pursue love. And then in the next verse, it says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. There you go. So it's a, like a number one instruction from heaven. What do you pursue first?
Love.
Yep. And if you read that in context with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Which they read at weddings. It's a laugh when people read that at weddings, fair dinkum, they've got no idea what 1 Corinthians is 13. It's just all lovey-dovey. But here it says, pursue love and desire prophecy. Because prophecy in the church is the vital energy that comes from above that is going to push the church towards its destiny. So we must have prophecy in the church. It's not a weird thing. It's not where we all sort of, you know, it's such a natural thing. Do you know what? Everybody is prophesying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know Rupert Murdoch is prophesying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know that the gay lobby are prophesying?
Yeah.
Do you know that the ABC are prophesying? Whenever you open your mouth and declare, you are speaking prophetically. Some people are saying, I will never get over this problem. They are prophesying. Sometimes, I will always never have enough money. They are prophesying. But when we begin to declare with faith in God that things are going to turn around, things are going to change, the city is going to change, we are speaking prophetically. And we need to learn how to do it. We need to learn how to tap in. And if you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm not a bad coach at teaching people to tap more into the prophetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope before God calls me out of here that you can access that. Because I tell you, when the prophetic goes missing, Jesus goes missing. And do you know why Jesus is missing in a lot of churches and it's just humdrum? There's no prophecy. Because the testimony of Jesus, this is the spirit of prophecy. It's what the Bible says. It's not necessarily telling the future, but it is speaking forth the word of God. It's speaking forth what God is saying. That's the spirit of prophecy. Although it is foretelling and it is forthtelling. So firstly, we have the office of the prophet. Number two, we have the gift of prophecy. Say that. The gift of prophecy. Say, I have the gift of prophecy.
I have the gift of prophecy.
The gift of prophecy is in me.
The gift of prophecy is in me.
I can access the spirit of prophecy.
I can access the spirit of prophecy.
I should pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Especially that I should prophesy. In Jesus' name. You just said something straight out of the Word. So this first thing is the office of prophet. You know, my spiritual father is a prophet. I'm connected to one of the best. You can decide what I am. It's up to you. I should get some interesting answers to that. Number two, the gift of prophecy. Number three, the mantle of prophecy. Say that, the mantle of prophecy. Mantle means covering. So there is a mantle of prophecy. Do you know, I believe there is a prophetic mantle over this church. And it comes because God has called a certain sort of leadership to minister here, and it's been built here over the years, and that's called the mantle. It's like a covering. It's like an atmosphere. And it covers you. Where do we see this? In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 13, the horsemen came and Elijah just stepped up into the chariots and off he went. I would like to go like that. That would be the model way to go, but I don't seriously think, well, maybe. We'll work on that. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a couple of guys that did not die. They just stepped into the realm of the Spirit, and that was Enoch and it was Elijah. These are two model leaders. But here, Elijah went up and his spiritual son, say that, spiritual son. Elisha says, my father, my father. How do I know he was a spiritual son? Yeah. Come on, what's wrong with the rest of you? How do we know that he was his spiritual father? He said, my father, my father. It's talking about relationship. So when there's a prophetic mantle over the church, what happens by virtue of relationship, what is covering me flows and covers others. And this is what happened here. It's the mantle. So what happens is Elijah goes up and he says, "My father, my father," and he walks along and he picks up the mantle. He picks up the covering. And he makes it his own covering. And then he prays a prayer. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And not only the covering, but everything that Elijah had began to come onto Elisha. And another generation is born. This is just amazing to me. I love this because there is a mantle of prophecy over this church. There's a mantle of prophecy over this church. I tell you, this is guiding us. This word this morning's guiding us. It's leading us. It is who we are. I want you to know we are not weird. We're not strange. We're not saying strange things, but there is a mantle of prophecy that is over City Builders Church, where God is raising us under that covering, under that mantle, to be everything that we are called to be in the nation and in the city and in your street and in your workplace. I tell you, there's something here. It is the Word of God. It is the heart of God. It is the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. It's awesome. So you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you're about. I don't worry too much about what other people think these days. I honestly, seriously don't. I worry about what my mentors say about me. I worry about what my covenant brothers say about me. I worry about those that I'm in covenant with. I worry about that. But I don't worry about the opinions of men. You've got to learn to shake that off. And you've got to know who you are. You've got to know you're a son of God. You've got to know who you are. There's a whole generation that are gender confused, messed up, screwed up because somebody told them something other than what they are. But the Bible says, "I'm a new creation. I'm made in the image of God." The Bible says, "I'm a son of God." The Bible says that I'm His, that He began a good work in me and He's going to bring it to fulfillment. He's doing a work of salvation in me. He's bringing me into my destiny. You know, I am not a finished work. I'm a work in progress, and so are you. Amen? Do you like that? Say, "I'm a work in progress. I have a winning spirit on the inside of me. God is making me. I am connected with people of destiny. I'm going to enter into everything that God has for me." How boring church has become because people are hearing messages on how to get by rather than hearing the word that's coming from heaven that says, "You can change, you can make it, you are going to break through, you can change the city." Amen. It's awesome. Prophetic people. It means speaking forth. I just spoke forth. I just declared over you, you're going to make it. You're going to break through. Supernatural provision's going to come. Healing's going to come. Amen. You're going to get better. You're going to shake off your fears. You're going to shake off your rejection. You are going to win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is very good. This is the prophetic. Is there anything prophetic here or is it pathetic? What do you think? Come on, we've got to get out of the pathetic and into the prophetic. Churches have got to get out of the pathetic and into the prophetic. We've got to get out of our human limitations and into the limitless realm of the Spirit. Amen. That's why I preach occasionally and just duck away and let you digest what I've been talking about. Because I know sometimes this is hard to swallow because you like to rationalize. And that's a problem. I'm not a great rationalist. I'm an inspirationalist. I prefer to spit rather than think. How do we grow in this thing? How does this happen? Why? 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 Sometimes I think, why, God? How did I end up this way? How did we end up this way? Why is it that God's called us to this? Now, let's have a look at this. Firstly, go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 because it's going to help us. I am looking for a shift in you this morning. I've already shifted. I've already changed my dress. Now I'm hoping you will too. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Lynn's smiling, must be okay. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There's no widespread revelation. I just want to thank you for you coming up and standing here and sharing so honestly that in the last 6 months, not much has happened. It's funny because that's been my 6 months of outpouring. Let me tell you about this. The boy ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. I'll tell you the problem with the church and the nation. The word of the Lord is rare. Yeah. The word of the Lord is rare. But here, God begins to break the cycle of a closed heaven. Do you know, God so wants to break that cycle. Number one this morning, we are by what we are by calling. We are what we are by calling. Say it after me. We are what we are by calling. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the ones that are coming with us. You know, this church is not for everyone. Some people are going to come and visit here for a season. And, you know, that's and go, it's fine. But others are going to come and they're going to go, this is my patch. Yeah. I want you to know why that is. You're called. Yeah. I cannot imagine Yvonne Coffey being in another church in the nation.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that? It's by calling. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in that place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. I think this is interesting. He was in the temple. He's already there. He's already serving. Is already in the house of God. But all of a sudden, at a given time, God said, hey, Samuel. He was called. You know, with this whole thing of the prophetic, prophetic people are called to be exactly that. It is me. It is me. I've spent years trying to be John Bevere, Kenneth Copeland. No, not really. I never did that at all. Joyce Meyer, no, I never did that neither. But I've tried to be other people.
Yeah.
I've even tried to preach quietly and sophisticatedly. And it just doesn't work because I'm called to be something else.
Yes.
Do you know this place is a really interesting place because people are called to be here.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yep.
They're just called to be here. They just come alive when they come in here.
Yep.
Their life becomes blessed when they come in here. The jigsaw seems to come together when they come in here. So it's call. I've been called to be this. Do you know what? I am actually the end result of the calling that God has placed on me. He made me this way. There's a song about it. He made me this way. I can't help it. It's who I am. He's called me to be this. Don't try to be unauthentic. Try to be who God's called you to be. But I want you to know that over our City Builders Church and connected churches, wherever we are in the nations, there is a prophetic call. The prophetic is calling you. The prophetic is calling you. The prophetic is calling you. The voice of the Lord is calling you. Just like, you know, in the temple, something's calling you. Now, some people can just wander off and feel quite happy somewhere else. It's cool. I wish I was like that. But God's dug me down here. And he's digging some of you down here. And this is the prophetic. You know, I just believe that we are called to this. We are called to be like Samuel in this region. You better believe it. That's who we are. It's by calling. Listen to this. You can't escape it. You can try to be someone different. You can try to be somebody different. I've tried it. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be me. You can be like me in some ways. You can imitate me in some ways, like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do that stuff. But you're an original. You are an original. Speaking of Michael and Yvonne, they are originals. Very original. Look at the person next to her and say, you are original. There's no one else like you. But some people are so called to the prophetic. It's called. It's in them. It's DNA. It's hardwired onto the inside. It's hardwired there. It is me. It's City Builders. It's good. It's strong. It's forceful. It's forceful. It's like a clenched fist that hits the devil in the face. It's the prophetic. I'm called to it. Yes. Are you called to it? Yes. Don't run from the call. Don't run from what God's calling you to. Learn to give yourself. Number one, the prophetic, Watson Wise, number one, it's by calling. Number two, it is by response. Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here I am. Here I am. That's amazing, you know, because I understand this. Sometimes I keep asking the question, where are they? Where are they? Where have they gone? Honest person. But God wants you to respond. Here I am. Here I am. You know, when God calls, make your response immediate. Make your response immediate. Get on board. Make yourself available. Be there. Be present. Here I am. Our calling is to the fullness, but we respond with a measure. Do you know the call to the body of Christ is to carry the fullness, the full dimensions of the Holy Spirit? Not just a measure. Not just a little bit. Not just your tank, a quarter full. Sometimes people have got their tank quarter full. So you go, how are you? And they go, oh, I'm down. Now, I tell you what, we have down times in our house because, you know, Anita there, she needs surgery on her back. She can't get out of bed most of the time. I cannot let my tank run dry. My tank has got to be full. Not only for me, but for my wife. My tank has got to be full. Say this, my tank must be full. Not only for me, but for others around me. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also the spirit of prophecy. So we need to be filled. It's our response. It's our response. Our calling is to the fullness. You imagine, you know, your body. And you have all your concerns, all your health limitations, all your fears, your worries, your anxieties. And God comes along And he sees you a vessel and he fills you up with the fullness of who he is until all the negativity, all the fear, all the worry, all the anxiety, all the self-doubts, all the fears, all the unbelief are drained out. It's by our response. See, you are a vessel. Paul said this to the church. He said, "Don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you get it?" The reason he asked that question is because he had such a heart for the church and he thought, don't these guys get it? Don't they know what they've got in them? Don't run with your tank dry. Get your tank filled. Hopefully this morning, by virtue of the word, God's beginning to fill your tank. You know, and he brings an overflowing in there, so there's so much God on the inside that it will create an aggravation to everything else. Don't be surprised, because you are called to the prophetic. Some people are sort of called to the pastoral. Julian's call is more pastoral than mine. So that's good. That's good because some people are called to the evangelistic. You know, people love evangelists. They blow in out of town and the numbers grow and then it's back to church. It's back to maybe the apostle or the prophet. And the evangelist gathers crowds and it's like the prophet comes in and off they go again. This is the prophetic. The point is, we are called to be filled with the fullness. Your tank, how is it? I'll tell you how you'll know. You'll know by about 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon, or by, you know, Monday or Tuesday, you'll know how full your tank is. Do you know what? I want to let all our leaders know I've got little eeny meeny ways of testing how full your tank is. So our calling is to the fullness. Secondly, the willingness of our response will determine our ability to hear. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, the word hear actually means hear and do. That's how you know someone got actually heard. They actually did it. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. And this is a shift that I'm really asking God that right now in this next couple of months is a big shift. That we begin to get the download from heaven. So the prophetic, number one, it is by? No, number one, by, shout it out. This is my worry. You could go home and say I talked about marriage or something. I don't know. It is by? Corey, it is by? Good. High five. Cross the face, Libby. Secondly, it is by?
Response.
You know, we need to give God the response. We need to give God the response. Who do we give the response to?
God.
Now, let me tell you, this is a hard truth and it's in the Bible. If God sends you a man and the man brings a message and you don't respond to him, you are not giving God a response. Hard truth. Let's talk about real truth here. Not charismatic, baloney. Baloney. Number three, it's by connection. It's by connection. The prophetic flows through connections. This is cool. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, this is where I just love the prophetic because Samuel had in it. He went up there. You know, God sent him up. He sent him up to find the next king because Saul had blown it. And he sends out Samuel and he goes to Jesse. And there is 7 sons come out. All good-looking blokes. Tall, good-looking, sharp. Know how to look after themselves. And he goes, now hang on. None of these are the future king. None of these guys. Are there any more? And they go, well, there's little David, but he's just basically a pain in the neck. Well, go get him. And they bring him out, and Samuel goes, that's the man. That's the man. Do you know what happened? There was a connection. There was a connection. There was a, something went on the inside. Something's got to go on the inside. I remember when I went to Malaysia, the very first time I'd been really seeking out answers, and I went over there, I was looking for answers. I couldn't find them anywhere. And somehow by accident, I ended up in Malaysia with Jonathan David. And it was like when he spoke, something went alive on the inside of me. So something needs to come on the inside. It's by connection. This is why the enemy, our adversary, the devil, will do anything to disconnect people. I remember 2 years ago having this dream, and we were building a house. And I believe it's a prophetic dream about our church. We're building a house. And, you know, with new buildings these days, you know, the old power used to come in and attach to the spouting and that way. But in the new buildings, the source comes up through the floor. And in this dream, there was a foundation and there was a power source coming up. Anyhow, I was in the house looking and I thought, this building site is untidy. This is in my dream. That's all I knew. And then I saw the source getting pulled out through the foundations. And I remember in my dreams, and Lynn remembers it too, because she said, are you having a heart attack? I was wrestling. I ran in my dream and I jumped on that power source and I stood on it and I began to wrestle. Why is that? I reckon we're connected to something. We're connected. And if the enemy can pull your plug and disconnect you from the people that you're meant to be with, there's nothing. There's no dynamic. You've just come back to ordinary, mere Christianity. But where we're connected to the source. Elijah was connected to his son. His son was connected. It was a spiritual connection. They were called that way. Do you know what? The enemy will do what he can to disconnect you. There are Christians all over the world that are disconnected. And a lot of them are in mega churches. I go and visit a mega church every now and again. I love the program. But if you actually reach out to greet the person next to you, you're weird. There's a total disconnect. A disconnect. Can you imagine, you know, you try to kick your leg and your fingers trying to push someone's eye out? That's what the church is like. It's not connected. But I think a thought, and I go, I'm going to give my son a nice rub over the head. But not everybody's like that because they're disconnected. You read Ezekiel 37, it talks about this. The prophetic will cause connection. It'll cause flesh to come. It'll cause life to come. It'll cause breath to come. It'll cause a reconnecting of that which is not connected. Is it the truth? It's by connection. What we need is a connection to the Spirit. We need to find those people that we're called to be connected with. It's not everyone, but you've got to find your tribe, your place, your people, your ones that, wow, it just resonates on the inside. It's just wow. Quiet. Relationship positions for transfer. positions for you for transfer. It's like the honor between one generation and another, where Elisha, you know, all the rest of the sons of God want that old bloke out of here. But Elisha was different. He goes, "My father, my father." Do you know what? There's a big disconnect in Western society. Maybe a lot of what's going on the inside of you is because of the disconnect. If he can disconnect fathers from sons, fathers from daughters, things begin to break down. But God's made a way for you. He says in Malachi chapter 3 or 4, verse 5 and 6, you know, "Unless Elijah comes, I'll strike the land with a curse." Wow. So this relationship between one generation and the next is powerful. It's powerful because Elijah just did not bless Elisha, but he took his own life and he put it in that next generation. He put it in there. And because that next generation was willing to receive, it positioned itself for national transformation. Amazing. When transfer happens, things can break out. Hey, listen, have you got the GPS turned on the inside? Or are you using that old 2008 model Navman, where all the maps are old? I'm looking to see who's using the old version. Some of you have got to just adjust a bit. Upgrade. You've got to upgrade. You know, your technology has got to be upgraded often. You know, if you don't update, you don't do your updates on the computer. If you don't update your phone, sorry. Transfer needs to happen. I'm longing for this to happen. I'm longing for the word that's guiding and governing us becomes the word that guides and governs you. How are we doing? It's by connection. Just connect. In P&G, they connect. Sunday, you preach the message. Monday, every school in the nation, connections. That's what happens. Number 4, it's by becoming. 1 Samuel 3:19. It says, "So Samuel grew." Say that. So Samuel grew. He became the greatest prophet in the Old Testament in a way, you know, because he ushered the way for David. But it says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." It's a bit of an overstatement to say he was the greatest prophet. Today he is, I'm saying that. "So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him." If you were called prophetically, God is looking over you. He's looking after you. Who thinks that they're called prophetically? Put your hand up. You shouldn't be shy about this. Who thinks City Builders got a prophetic call? So some people are just going to go, "Whoa, this is my home. I love this. I am here for the long haul." It's fine. You know, it's amazing when the prophetic goes into a son or a daughter, wherever they are, it will cause them to prevail and grow. You should see what's happening to Renee. She hasn't been here in the church for 5 years, but she's carrying this thing powerfully into one particular domain, which you'll hear about soon. 1 Samuel 3:19, the child grew. This is talking about stature. If you are called prophetically, God's looking after you. Hands up if you believe you're called prophetically. God's looking after you. Put your hand up. He's looking after you. He's looking over you. He is protecting you. Nothing is going to stop you. Nothing will stop people that are called prophetically. Nothing will stop people that are called prophetically. All right, I'll say it again. Nothing will stop people who are called prophetically. But the next line is a bit tough. It says, but everything will try to stop you. If you're called prophetically, I'll tell you what, the most dangerous, dangerous people on the earth are people that are called prophetically. They're dangerous to themselves, but they are especially dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. We are part of a prophetic company. I'm just laying the foundations of our church this morning because this is who we are. It's not who you have to be. This is who we are. It's who I am. Nothing will stop you. Oh, gosh, we've had some things try to stop us, Lynn. You wonder what's coming tomorrow sometimes. Normally comes in the way of people. Everything has tried to stop us. Everything. Sickness, depression, we've had it all, seriously. Betrayal, accusation. But this is the beauty of it. This is the process that makes you unstoppable. Nothing can stop you. Nothing. The boy must become a man. He must become a man. Samuel grew and became strong, and it says none of his words fell to the ground. Isn't that cool? None of his words fell to the ground. It talks about the potential stature of the church and a prophetic people. This is why we need to commit ourselves to grow, to the journey of becoming, not of the journey I've arrived. Sometimes you have people arrive in churches and they go, hey, I've arrived. The Messiah is here. Your next song leader, your next prophetic dance teacher. The boy must become a man, and the man then becomes a message. The woman becomes a message. The woman becomes a message. You are becoming a message. You're becoming a message. Do you know, there's something that I have that's being laid up in you. It'll cause you to stand. It's Renee. You know, she's standing out there alone, and she's been picked for a very important job. And we won't announce it until it happens. But one of the reasons they chose her is because she communicates with passion, and her mind can't be changed. The prophetic. The prophetic. Next one's important. This is really important, and this is the message this morning. It is by culture. It is by culture. This is the key to ongoing change and continuous breakthroughs. Culture is the key to ongoing change and continuous breakthroughs. Messages won't bring ongoing change and breakthroughs. They'll maintain the program. But the prophetic, as it continues to build, will bring continuous change and continuous breakthroughs if you connect with it. Here's a couple of things about this church. The prophetic's been built here. It's been built here. It's been built in the relationships, the DNA, the messages, the attitude. A couple of really incredible guys have come in here. One of them is Pastor Neil Myers, who led the Christian Outreach Centre denomination. And when he stood behind the pulpit, he prophesied. And he said afterwards, I never prophesy wherever I go. Why? It's just something here. It's something that people can step into. You've got to know your culture. Do you know what? My family's got a culture and I want to protect it. The good things about it, not the bad things. Not the bad things, neither. The prophetic has been built there. We need to know that, honour that, draw it into our life, pursue love, but especially desire spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. I want to teach every one of you the technology of prophecy. Characteristics of this prophetic culture. People will know what God is saying. They'll know what God is saying. In other words, if I ask any one of our leaders what God is saying, they should be able to say, this is what I believe. Here's one of my little trick assessments. What is God saying to his church? The Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Do you know what? If you've stopped hearing, it's because your heart has become hardened. People will know what God is saying. Number two, lives are being shaped in the culture. Culture shapes people. It shapes them. Do you know what? Our culture is shaping people out there. Is this true? It's shaping them, but it's shaping them the wrong way. And if the church doesn't have a strong prophetic culture, the culture out there will begin to change the way that people think, and they'll accept anything. Characteristics. People know what God is saying. Number two, lives are being shaped and restored. In 2 Kings chapter 4, this needs to be, see that, restoration, that's the heart of our message. You know, it says Elijah must come so that all things can be restored. The prophetic will bring restoration and wholeness in the lives of people. Marriages that are messed up will get healed. Bodies that are messed up will get healed. People that are broke, if they follow the prophetic, it will give them increase. You see it in there in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha came to a widow and she had nothing, but he began to unlock the heavens over her. That's why we need to connect with the prophetic. Because God wants to bring you from where you are today on a prophetic journey so that you become filled with the fullness. The Shunammite woman had lost a son, but God brought Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4 and brought life back into that dead body. The prophetic will bring life. Not long to go, the culture can become an unstoppable force. It's interesting, the word cult comes out of that. So when you become a counterculture, you can become accused. Because I'm not buying into this, you know, stuff that's going on in the world. I am strongly resistant. And the people that are prophetic, God will raise them to be strongly resistant. They just won't allow nonsense in. Is that all right? Hey, this is the other part. The culture, when it's built, will begin to draw people from afar. There's one going already. It'll draw people from afar. People will come in all the way, drawn right here and go, this is it for me. That's the future. If our culture is built well, if it's healthy, if it's loving, if there's freedom, if people are free to choose, but the voice of God is there. It says in John chapter 10, verse 16, there are others who are not of this flock that I must bring. There are others who are not of this flock. God's going to bring them home. You know, if we build our lives rightly, there's a magnetic attraction that will bring people in. It's like a vortex. But that depends on you. People come from afar. The culture will produce a generation of prophetic sons and daughters. They won't just have a voice, they will be the voice. They won't just deliver a message, they are the message. Their life tells a story. Last one. It is by responding to the voice of the shepherd. It's by responding to the voice of the shepherd. Hey, listen to this. John 10, 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Beautiful words. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I wanted to say this morning because someone is shepherding you. Intimidation can shepherd you. Ambition can shepherd you. Our own ideas can shepherd us. But God wants to bring you into the place where you're meant to be, and that is the voice of the shepherd. I know if I'm shepherding people or I'm pastoring. I reckon they're two different things. One, people are hearing. People are hearing. I think sometimes you just got to miss, you know, look over the words and even the imperfections and the stuff that is not quite right and hear the heart. We need to hear the heart of the shepherd. Number two, people are following. They're following. Who are you following? We've got a whole city that are following the football. A whole generation that are following ice. Following humanism. Following the ideas of the day. Who are you following? Who are you following? One of the ways that I know that I'm shepherding people is there is a reverb. A reverb is this. I speak, you respond. That's how I know. I speak, you respond. I speak, you give something back. Sometimes it can be, I don't like that. But that's good. Because in any healthy relationship, there is reverb. The scripture says this, my word will not return to me void. Every word that we as a church sends out has got to produce a harvest back in the church. We've got to learn to pick up. We've got to learn to hear. We've got to learn to respond. We've got to learn to pick up the calling. We've got to learn to respond the right way. Don't go a day without hearing God's voice. I should be able to come to you, because you're here every Sunday, and say, what is God saying to this church?